Okay, tonight's study is called The Beginning of the Great Tribulation Period. Remember the last study? I did a contour of the book of Revelation. We showed how the first five chapters of the book of Revelation dealt with the church. Specifically, the first three dealt with the seven churches, and then the churches in heaven in Revelation 4. And in Revelation 5, Christ is given this book that's sealed. And these seals are now going to be opened in Revelation 6. The first seal is going to be opened. And I explained how Revelation 6 through 19 is the Great Tribulation period, the seven-year period where the Antichrist is revealed, where God turns back to Israel, Daniel's 70th week is fulfilled, the last of the Jewish feast days, trumpets, atonement, Sukkoth, which is the tabernacle, the time of great gathering, which begins the millennial. All these things happen within this divine seven-year period. Plus, it's equivalent to Noah's Ark. It's the great judgment upon the Gentile world, a judgment on the entire world, just like the flood came. You know, Noah was told to get in the flood. Well, the church right now Noah was told to get in the ark. The church right now is the ark, right? The church is the ark. We're building it. The age of Philadelphia, approximately like 120 years, just like the ark was being built, and people were scoffing and laughing and scorning. There's no rain. And here he is building a big old ark out there and finding animals. Well, right now, we are in the last days. The real church of the living God is going to be scorned and laughed at. And yet we know that Christ has told us that, you know, he's going to come for his church, and he also is going to come back again and judge the world, not just as the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world, but as the Lion, when that Lamb becomes the Lion. That is the Great Tribulation period. So it's a time of salvation, but it's also a time of major, major judgment. So Revelation 6 opens up the Great Tribulation. The first five chapters were dealing with the church, first on earth, then called home with the trumpet in Revelation 4. Then it is Jesus that is given the book in Revelation 5. Now the first seals are opened up in chapter 6. Let's read chapter 6 tonight here, folks. Who starts it? Okay, Chris starts it out.
Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four creatures call out, as with the voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second creature call out, "Come," and out came another horse, bright red. The rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people would slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword.
Okay, so those are years. Now who's got five? Michelle.
When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard a third living being say, "Come." And I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And a voice from among the four living beings said, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley for a day's pay, and don't waste the olive oil and wine." And the Lamb broke the fourth seal. I heard the fourth living being say, "Come." And I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green like a corpse. And death was the name of its rider, who was followed along by the grave. When we are given authority over one fourth of the earth to kill kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. And when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their witness.
Okay, and then David, you continue on.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said, For a little season. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
This is the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're going to be on this chapter and going back and forth in it for the next several weeks, because it's going to fit in with the first great war of the tribulation. It's going to show us this earthquake that comes out of the Old Testament that's mentioned. We have to deal with it. It also tells us right out that this is the time of his wrath, and that the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, both slave and free, little, big, everyone is going to be wanting to hide and get some kind of shelter because things have gotten so bad. Now, it starts out interesting. You know, verse 1, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Remember we had the book in the fifth chapter? Remember, Christ is given the book in the fifth chapter, and the saints that were in heaven are going, who can open up the seals? Remember, we talked concerning the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, every 50 years came Jubilee. Well, the Day of Atonement doesn't start until the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist is revealed, the second 3.5 years. But just what I said, if Michelle was selling her house, does she sell it the next day? If I was to buy David's house tomorrow, could I get it tomorrow? No. What do you have to go through? Litigation. Open the books. See the liens. See the situation. Part of the relationship to the book that Christ has given in Revelation 5 is getting ready to open up the entire world so he can take it from Satan's domain, transfer it into righteousness. And what did he do on the Jubilee? What happened on the day of Jubilee? The land went back to the original people, the original tribes. Even if the land had been sold, now all the judges in every little city would have to come together, and they'd have to open up their books and say, yeah, this plot of acreage here, these 75 acres, they belonged to, you know, the tribe of Ephraim and this family. And these people, that their dad sold it 40 years ago. But now it's got to go back to the original people. Well, what's happened In Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, we understand that Satan has the deeds, that the devil has been given all this. Remember he said it? You know, bow down to me. this is given to me. Christ didn't take it away from him at that time. He defeated him with his temptations by the word of God. But in the book of Revelation, he's going to take the land throughout the entire earth away from the satanic forces and the Cherokee and every tribe and all these people who have been robbed through centuries, right? The Great Tribulation is going to bring down dams. It's going to bring down buildings. It's going to bring down structures. It's tighter with fences. It's going to bring the fences down to the point where the earth is going to have a time of freedom. And the people of the earth are going to be given back reasonable land because so many people are going to die. And the powers that be that own the land, that have it, and that oppress people and don't share it, it's not righteousness throughout the entire world. All the people that have been taken out of their lands, all the people put on reservations, all the human beings that have been disenfranchised throughout the world. Christ is opening up the books and judgments are coming upon the kings of the earth. The entire structure has got to come down in order for that Day of Atonement. And who finally is bound and taken and thrown into the bottomless pit. That's what this great tribulation period is. It's not only the wrath concerning all the evil that's within our social system. It's cosmic. It's demonic. It's angelic. It's the Michael and his angels are fighting against these demonic powers that are completely thrown into the earth. And this seven-year period is going to be the most intense period in the history of the world. There will never be another period like it. You talk about Noah's flood, right? And this is a burning of fire. This is nuclear weapons. This is biological weapons. This is men seeking death for 5 months and not being able to die. This is nuclear fallout. This is the worst period that ever is going to come in the history of the human race. Then they went to the rocks. Fall on us! Who can hide? Who can we get away from? How can we get away from the wrath of the Lamb? The Bible said they're going to throw their gold in the streets. Nothing is going to have value. This is the time of the 666. This is the time of the Great Tower of Babel. This is the time of the unity of the Antichrist, the unity of man under man. All of that. And it starts out here in Revelation 6 with a white horse, which is the false peace of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be the one that will ride a horse, you know, and it's a horse and a rider held a bow. There's no arrow. And he was given a crown and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. It's a white horse. The Antichrist comes to power through peace, through prosperity, through allowing craft to take place. And he is going to make the greatest covenant that the world has ever known. He is going to settle down Israel with the Palestinian, the Christian with Islam. He's going to back and off Russia and make a deal that pleases Russia, Iran, Turkey, Syria, Egypt, the African nations. The Antichrist is going to broker an incredible white horse, a false peace, but it's not going to hold. And that's what happens as we see the other horses start to ride out. Now, we're not going to get into to the exactitude of the horses tonight. We're going to do that the next study. Tonight, we're still going to get this good cursory overlook and understand it. This is also when people will be persecuted Christians will die that are so-called Christians in the tribulation. They no longer have a denomination, but they do believe there'll be many people who did not make the catching away, who are going to understand now, this is nuts. I'm not taking the mark of the beast. This is the Antichrist coming. This is the war of Russia coming into Israel. I can see it. I'm alive. Look at everyone's dying and crazy. Next comes the mark of the beast. I'm not going to do it because all the nations are going to have totalitarianism. How do you have freedom and democracy with nuclear weapons? If ISIS had a nuclear weapon tonight, would they use it? If ISIS right now in their jihad, if they could have a nuclear weapon right now and cast it over at Israel, would they use it? If they could have a means to have a missile to reach the United States, the great Satan, would ISIS use it? In a heartbeat. And technology never, ever, ever, ever goes back into the bottle. The genie never goes back into the bottle. It always proliferates. What does that mean? It means for a while you can have democracy. But when you start dealing with nuclear weapons, what ends? Democracy. And the Antichrist comes to power. The false church supports him. The false prophet that rises from the sea of man, from the sea of these churches. Who is like the beast? Who is like this man? Who is like this European leader that's made this deal for Israel? We've got to support the whole world, NATO, the military-industrial complex of all the world, China, Russia, everybody is going to go, good, we're settling things down. And we're going to watch it. We right now are on the bleachers watching the end times because that's what we're dealing with right now. We're seeing the end times starting to come in. And they're not going to come in completely until the church is taken out. Okay. When we look here at verse 8. Take a look at verse 8. Now let's start really in verse 7. The fourth seal. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, verse 7, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come. I looked, and before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. There were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. What percentage? 25% of planet Earth dies in Revelation 6. Let me say that again. 25% of planet Earth dies in Revelation 6. Now let's try to take a look at that. There are approximately 7.4 billion people on planet Earth today. The Bible said one-fourth of these will be killed in this chapter alone and in the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. We cannot fathom 1.8 billion people being killed in a world war with calamities of sorts. How many people died in World War II? Over 60 million people died during World War II, including civilians. Right? Approximately 11 million military people and over 49 million civilian casualties throughout the world. Anybody watch Discover Channels? Anybody watch documentaries on Channel 2? Anybody catch the one on Stalin last week? There was one on Stalin. They have Novas on. They have National Geographics on. They're talking about what the tank battles were and this and that. That's 60 million people. We see a stream of documentaries on this war constantly on television. Let's take 60 million and multiply it by 30. And we begin to get an idea of how many human beings will die in the first chapters of the book of Revelation during the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. 30 times is take all of World War II, civilian casualties, everyone that died in World War II, and multiply it by 30. And you start to get an idea of what your kids are going for if they don't make it in Christ. You get an idea of what your job will mean to you if you don't put Christ ahead of it. You get an idea, you know, if we put lands or homes or pleasure ahead of God and we go into this period of time. We want them to get college educations. We want people to have this. That's all fine and dandy. But can you see one of your loved ones in this period? Can you see somebody in a period like this? The current population of the United States is over 322 million people. Let's take every man, woman, child, baby, old folk in the United States. Let's take everybody. New York City, Los Angeles, everybody in the United States. And let's multiply it by 5 times. Every man, woman, and child. And we get an idea of how many people will be violently killed in this chapter alone within the first 3.5 years. This is what we are coming to as a world. And what's so incredibly horrible is that whole Calvinist situation, amillennialist, the church age, you know, is blessed in 1,000 years of peace and there is no Israel coming into it, means that the church age sits here right now and it thinks that it's going to come into this prosperity and it's going to bring the world into democracy. You know? What did Christ do? He called us out of the world because he understood. He said, get in the ark. Well, no, Lord, we don't want to stay down here and try to convert some more folks here. No, Noah, it's going to rain, brother. It's going to rain. I told you to build an ark. I told you to get going, right? Well, no, we're gonna try to get some democracy over there. And I had two people I know well here in the last week and a half come out for Hamas and Hezbollah against Israel. And I'm just looking at these people. Are you people crazy? Are you actually crazy? You actually think that democracy is going to be exported into the Middle East amongst radical Islam and all the rest of it? Do you really think that that's the extent of your Christianity? That you can somehow create social justice amongst Lucifer and a third of his demons? Black wings in the night shadows, things on the wall, little voices, little whispers, evil that exists right now that fights every Christian? Do you really think that you're going to beat them and settle them down? Now, Lucifer, you need to behave. Quit wagging your tail. Quit causing trouble. Do you really think the devil is going to listen to democracy? It's such a lie. And people have been taught by the Enlightenment and by this whole, you know, intellectual period of mentality that, well, we're going to straighten it out. We've got a new invention coming. We've got some new technology happening. We've got some real good stuff happening here. And there's going to be another leader like Martin Luther King, and we're going to get some peace going. That's the kind of mentality that so many kids at colleges are going to learn. Okay, you know? I mean, and I'm going to vote. I'm involved in trying to make justice the best it can, but I am not naive at all. I believe that what the Word of God says is going to come to pass. And we are in the end times, pushing right into this great tribulation. And the church is here only for a little while longer. So when we sit there and see five times everybody in the United States is killed, kids, you think the devil here is going to have mercy on kids? Well, that nuclear fallout won't hand them. When they let their weapons go, when that 1/6 of Russia lets its weapons go on the islands that dwell carelessly in Australia, New Zealand, USA, the Americas are hit. When those nuclear warheads hit oceans and cause so much disruption, cancers, unbelievable amounts of horrid death, the pale horse. Well, it won't touch my kids, not mine. The only way out of here is Jesus Christ. There is no way out of here. Remember last study we dealt with some of the prophecies of Daniel. Were sealed but now are open. That's Daniel 12. God said, seal the prophecy. Last study we talked about that. And then we see in Matthew 24, Jesus opened the understanding of his apostles to understand these prophecies, including the apostle Paul, so we could understand them. That's why we now start to see the terms end times that are mentioned in gospels and epistles, because the prophecies are now there to be understood, and we're heading toward this incredible tribulation period. Now we have Matthew 24:15-22. Let's read that.
The time will come when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person outside the house must not go inside to pack. A person in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for mothers nursing their babies in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for that will be a time of great horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones.
Read that last verse again, if those days were not shortened.
In fact, unless the time of calamity is shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones.
Isn't that something, David? What would happen if those days aren't shortened? What would happen if this great tribulation wasn't shortened? Not one human being would survive. It would be complete annihilation and genocide. But because of the elect, God is going to allow these days to be shortened so that it can't completely destroy the entire human race. Now, it's such a beautiful situation there when Christ says, you know, let the reader understand. In Daniel 12, I told you that he goes, no, the words are sealed. Words are sealed. Can't see them. Shut up. You're in the darkness when you read those. When the old rabbis and would read them, they can't quite get that. And then Jesus, what did he do? He turned the light on. He said, let the reader understand. And then he specifically says, Daniel. And then he goes right into the Antichrist. So he goes in the middle of the week. Then he puts us in Judea. Remember, when Jerusalem was taken by Titus in 70 AD, they completely surrounded the walls. People were starving to death. There was nobody fleeing Judea. There was nobody fleeing Jerusalem. This is a completely different scenario here. I used to have a hard time with that. And now, you know, the light's going on for me. Let no one on the housetop go back or take anything out of the house. Jesus uses the word, let them who are in Judea flee into the mountains. this goes hand in hand, and we'll see, with the earthquake. There will be an earthquake made through the Mount of Olives. That's why it's important to have that earthquake. Remember when Christ died on the cross, right? The earth shook. There was an earthquake. Well, right now they know that there's a fault line that goes from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean. This earthquake will be completely expanded by the end of the tribulation. But at this time, this earthquake will come, and it will allow these Jews to flee into Moab and Ammon, into that area, because it's the area in Daniel that says the Antichrist cannot touch certain countries. The devil is not allowed to touch certain places. This is one of the reasons why the elect have to go there. And the Lord is telling them, he's looking into the future. He who reads Daniel 12, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 11, 12, you know, all these chapters on the Roman Empire revived and the man of sin revealed. Let him understand. And then you're in Judea, flee. Because the Antichrist is going to turn against these Jews. And anyone who doesn't take the mark will be, you know, killed. So he tells them he's going to seal them. He's going to put them away. That's this, and we're going to get into that in Revelation 11 and other chapters concerning these Jews that are sealed. Oh, I got chills all over my body tonight. You know why? Because this message is open to us. The end time message is open to us. It's there. People want to know what's going to happen. People want to know, are we going to be delivered? Is our technology going to get us out of it? Is Hillary Clinton going to make it happen? Is Donald Trump going to make it happen? No, nobody's going to make it happen. The closest that's going to come to the man of peace will be the Antichrist. But he only has a white horse with a bow. He has no arrow. He can't hold the peace because of the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39. You know, so it's really important to understand it here. And what Michelle read is, it is the great tribulation. For then there shall be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Tell your kids if they ever ask a question, ask them when 1/4 of the world died in battles. Ask them where it ever happened before. It's so important to understand that the Lord denotes this time as dealing in Judea and the Jews, showing Israel back in their land with a rebuilt temple. How can somebody defy a temple that's not built? This didn't happen in 70 AD. There was no fleeing of the Jews. They were massacred. Not one stone upon another was left in that temple in 70 AD. This is that coming period spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And Jesus Christ turns the light on. And we have the light on. We have the light on in this time period to warn the world, just like Noah. Repent, just like Lot. Come out from amongst them, saith the Lord. We have an opportunity as a church to help people find their way to Jesus Christ, because there is no way out. That's the horrible lie of Calvinism and amillennialism. We'll solve it. We'll make it work. We'll politically let it happen. We'll bring democracy to the area. And what happens? It gets worse and worse and worse. These scriptures pertain to the Antichrist when he defiles the temple in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. By implication, the temple being rebuilt and Israel having their land shows a regathered Israel and an international peace where Israel gets the use of the Temple Mount along with the Mosque of Omar, which sits there presently. The Antichrist comes to power through good trade, peace, a settling down of the Mideast, and a negotiated peace covenant. But it will be broken after World War III starts. The sixth chapter starts with a white horse with peace, but no bow to hold it. This is the Antichrist and his great deal in the world between Israel and the rest of the world. the Palestinians, between Islam and apparent Christianity, with the nations of the Mideast region, with Europe, America, Russia, China. Whoever could settle down the Mideast and broker a peace between so many hostile nations will be a true world leader with power. I mean, to this day, Kissinger's famous for going over to China and flying back shuttle flights, right? How many people have tried to come in and settle something in the Mideast? Who was shot here in our lifetime? I've seen it live, basically, on TV. Anwar Sadat. Why? He tried to make peace with Israel. What happened to him? He's killed. Right? And that was between Egypt and Israel. Can you imagine somebody settling down ISIS, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, India, anything going on with Kashmir, China, Russia, the African Alliance countries? Can you imagine somebody coming in and brokering a deal like that? He will be powerful. When I was in Jerusalem at an egg gag bus station alone, an Orthodox rabbi came also to wait for the bus. He was all dressed like an Orthodox Jew and the beard and, you know, the black hats and all that. I decided to ask him some questions since I was in Jerusalem. After we greeted one another in a friendly way, he probably thought I was a Jewish man visiting from the USA. I asked if he thought the now state of Israel was the Israel under God. He said, no. But God is gathering Israel from all the nations again. Before they are a nation under God, they must be cleansed in Jacob's trouble, like the Hebrew scripture says. And he said, Israel must first be attacked by the north. I went to him, do you mean Russia and some allies she will have during that time? Yes, he said to me, Russia. He said, Ezekiel 38 and 39 must come to pass. Then Israel will be a nation called back by God to rule under the Messiah. I couldn't believe it. He was preaching and teaching exactly what I preached and believed. False Christianity simply doesn't get it. With all the infiltration of modernism, liberation theology, amillennialism, or belief that the church age gets the 1,000 years of peace, not Israel, and higher criticism going on today. They deny Israel in the Great Tribulation period, thus hundreds of scriptures concerning Israel in the Hebrew scriptures. When Russia and her allies like Iran and others attack Israel, they break the peace the Antichrist brokered, along with the false prophet and the false churches supported. This is the first war of Jacob's troubles in the Great Tribulation period. And after this, it is the mark of the beast. 1984, totalitarianism. But Israel and many martyrs will resist. Then the Messiah will destroy him with the false prophet and bind the devil. This rabbi blessed me so much. I'll say it again to any of you folks in the audience that are listening to this study. Some of you plan great vacations. I know that. But I'm asking you, do yourself a favor as a Christian. If you can ever get to the Holy Land, if you can ever get to Jerusalem or get to Israel, try to do it for yourselves. Everything in Scripture is going to come back to Jerusalem. And blessed are those that pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now we've got 2 Thessalonians 2. You can start the first few there, Michelle.
Okay. And now, brothers and sisters, let us tell you about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered together to meet him. Please don't be so easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Even if they claim to have had a vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy every god there is and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? And you will know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way.
And then the lawlessness one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawlessness one, the Antichrist, will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so they will believe the lie, and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. How many times do I tell my friends, folks, we're coming to a false peace. Instead of the devil coming in with a club, he comes on a white horse. Yeah, but Joe, don't you want peace with Israel? Don't you want peace in the Middle East? Don't you want ISIS to settle down? Don't you want to see Russia settle everything down? And I say, of course I do, but not under the Antichrist. Not under the lie. Not under the delusion that man can work it out. What did Jesus Christ tell us about through the Old Testament? What did he tell us about the Tower of Babel? They all gathered together and they're making it and it's all working out and the world has got one language. What did he do to them? Divided it. Because he knew a unified man would only bring in the devil faster. Because he would unify under the covenant of Eden. Fallen in that garden. As God said, you cannot eat. That's what a unified man brings. Yeah, but Joe, you got to see it. It's peace in our time. It's great. We got universalism. We got socialism. We're going to be like Denmark. They're going to settle things down there. And there's going to be peace between Egypt and between Christianity and Jerusalem's going to, you know, it's going to be happy where even Islam can go up to its Mosque of Omar, and yet the Jews are going to be sacrificing. Joe, you gotta give us a break, man. You got to believe that democracy is progressive. You got to believe that we can try to make righteous people out of unrighteous people by law. You got to believe, Joe, that we're progressive, brother. Come on, USA, the new Jerusalem, the new Zion. We're here to be the world leader. NATO, come on, NATO, common market, come on. And that's what we're going to go against as we go. The violence, Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah. Drunk, marrying, given in marriage, partying, fun, the whole situation. And there's Satan. Go to sleep now. Go to sleep, you Christians. Live for your houses and live for your money and live for your phony dreams that are going to go right back to the ground. And here we are with Christ in our lives with an opportunity to try to let people see that this tribulation, this great flood, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah! where Abraham intercedes, God, if there be 50 righteous, Lord, the church, call the people, bring in the people who are supposed to come in. Help us baptize in the rivers and lakes in Jesus' name. Help us see speaking in tongues. Help us have all-night prayer meetings. Help us get back on fire, Holy Ghost in fire, before you come again, so we can help as many people get out. And there's the violins. Take Salmonex tonight. You know, Satan's just putting people to sleep. People want peace. They want somebody to work it out. And here comes the man of sin. Okay. This wonderful chapter here of chapter 2, and it was those first verses that Michelle read in 2 Thessalonians here, Paul says right out, I don't know if he was given a vision, but he understood the Old Testament, Daniel. The lights were on. The seals were off. He knew. This man of sin, folks, remember when I was with you? I told you he's going to sit in the temple like he's God himself. Remember? So he was already teaching it back there in the first century that it was going to happen. And yeah, you see, the mystery of iniquity is already working. You see, we're already fighting principalities and powers. You understand that the Roman Empire will be reunified, and that a man of sin will come out of it, and that he's going to raise and come more to power. This chapter does it. And then he warns at the end, he will confirm a covenant, he warns at the end and says, God sends him a powerful delusion so that they will believe. There's even a scripture that says, even the elect might be deceived. This is going to deceive so many people. So many people are going to go, yeah, but Joe, what are we going to do? Chris, what are we going to do? How can you be against this? How can you be against the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem? How can you be against the Temple Mount being internationalized? How can you be against an international Jerusalem that can settle down between Jew and Islam? How can you be against all this? We got to sign the deal, Joe. Right? And you know who's going to know it? Moses and Elijah. Those prophets in the wilderness, they're going to come to the city of Jerusalem. They're going to warn them. They're going to tell them, don't get aboard. The Bible says that Israel will become on-walled villages. It will feel like it is so safe. Right? And then sudden destruction comes upon them. Now, this last segment, Gabriel said the prophetic clock would start at the time that the decree was issued to rebuild Jerusalem. We're talking here in Daniel, the 9th chapter. In verse 20, it goes, while I was yet speaking, and this is Daniel 9:20, and confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, and making the request to the Lord my God for his holy will, his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the angel, had been in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks, 70 times 7, which are years, 490 years, are decreed to your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. And notice it uses literally the holy city. If you look up through the whole chapter, Daniel 9, you see that he was praying concerning the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Verse 25, Gabriel says, know and understand from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62, or 69 weeks, 483 years. We know from history that the command to restore and build Jerusalem was given by King Artaxerxes of Persia in 445 BC. When you take 445 BC and go right down to 483, you come right up to Christ's death. Right there when Christ came out of the temple. Right there when Christ rode on the donkey and proclaimed Zechariah. You know, when, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus never denied it. And said, if these did not praise that, the very stones on the ground, the very rocks would cry out. So we know 483 years were used. This means from the death of Christ through today, there still remains 1 7-year period. This is the Great Tribulation with the total restoration of Israel, right in alignment with Daniel's prayer in the 9th chapter. In order for Israel to rule the nations and world religions and political systems must be judged first. That's why the books have got to be opened. They got to open these books. We got to get things straightened out. Oh, you know, what if somebody in Israel would not give their land back? But if they were rich and they said, no, we're not going to give their land back. What would Israel do? We'd bring the judges. They'd bring more people in and go right to the Sanhedrin. They would come right into the higher courts if they had to, so that this litigation can take place. Well, in order for God to free the world and take it from the devil and free all mankind, he's got to get rid of all the people who are going to resist it because they're in alignment. They are in parley with Satan. They don't want the world to be distributed. They don't want Bernie Sanders. They don't want somebody to come along and say, let's distribute the wealth. What do the super rich want? Power. Right? And that's not just in the United States. That's anywhere. So here, we see 49 years were used to build the walls. That's Daniel 9:25. And then we understand from the time the walls started to get built until Christ was cut off is the rest of the 483 years, leaving 1 7-year period. The 7-year period stopped. When Christ died on the cross, the clock stopped. This gives us the one last 7-year period. This is what the tribulation is. Using the Jewish custom of 360 days per 483 years, after 445 BC places us at AD 30, which would coincide with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Matthew 21, 1 through 9. The prophecy of Daniel 9 specifies that after the completion of the 483 years, the anointed one will be cut off. This was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified. Then it goes between verse 27, it says there that, and the prince of the people will come. And he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which is between the 69th and the 70th week. Daniel 9:26 continues with the prediction that after the Messiah is killed, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. This was fulfilled at the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The ruler who will come. Remember I told you that do not confuse these scriptures in Luke 21, Matthew, Mark 13, or Matthew 24, that deals with Judea concerning the Antichrist that we talked about here today. We understand here that when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there was nobody fleeing to the mountains. This is not the Jews going to Masada. Preterists try to put this in there. When you look at Josephus's record of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, there are no Jews fleeing from Jerusalem. They couldn't, nobody got out. The Roman army of Titus was completely there, surrounding that entire city. It's a whole different ballgame when the Antichrist temple is defiled. Okay. Just about done here. Okay, so on of the 77, 69 have been fulfilled in history. This leaves one more 7 yet to be fulfilled. Most scholars believe that we are now living in a huge gap between the 69th week and the 70th. The prophetic clock has been paused, as it were. The final 7 of Daniel is what we usually call the Great Tribulation period. Daniel's prophecy reveals some of the actions of the Antichrist, the ruler who will come. He will set up an abomination that causes desolation in the temple. Jesus warned this event in Matthew 24. Okay. The Antichrist will take over the political power over three nations of the old Roman Empire. And I'm going to say that for next week. So next week, we're going to start to go into the false peace, the Roman Empire. We're going to name the European nations of the Roman Empire. I'm going to have some maps here for you so that you can look at these maps and then compare them to NATO. How many countries are in NATO? 28. We're going to go through the European nations of NATO. We're going to go through the common market. We'll take a look next week on what the Antichrist comes out of. We don't know the three nations he will take, but we'll show Scripture how he rises to power. In order for the Antichrist to make a deal on the level of settling down Israel, the Palestinian, Christianity with Islam, Russia, Iran, can you imagine his power? Right? It's incredible to have that much power. So we don't get to the 666 until the first, till the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. This means the Antichrist doesn't just come to power, right? He has to rise to power like anybody. You know, what's common? What was Jack Kennedy before he was a president? What did they used to call him? Senator Kennedy. What was President Obama before he was a president? Senator Obama, right? Well, we have to see the rise of the Antichrist. In order for the Antichrist to have the totalitarian power of giving out a 666 to the entire world, to have that much political military power, we have to see him rise. And it's in Scripture. And that's what we're going to deal with next week. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.